1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. It's a Wednesday. It's kind of our Friday holiday weekend coming up. Starts tomorrow, so not really a fan club Friday. I mean, if you must drink, you can start that in the fan club if you would like. But it's not a regular fan club. No
stuff over in the cooler. Would you like something, Drew?
Oh, no, I'm good. I was just asking if you wanted the music, but if it's not a traditional, I mean, if we're not.
It's not a real
fan
club.
We can keep
club.
It casual for this last hour.
It's a happy hour.
We can talk about some of the stuff Travis Kelce said on Busting with the Boys, which I think one thing relates to Alex, one does not. I don't believe. One thing just relates to anybody else who's ever been on a golf course.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can keep it loose since it's, you know, we got 1 hour and then.
Yeah, then it's a nice little holiday weekend. We're back at it on Monday.
I don't want to ask any more about desserts.
Yeah,
one person on the text line said we don't hear any more about desserts. It's played out or something like that. I don't remember exactly his words.
Dang.
So I didn't want to hear about it anymore. So he's not interested. That gentleman's tired of it. I'm going to make you something, sir. What would you like? You know?
Oh, gosh.
That's not going to win him over, is it?
I'm leaning in and I'm going to make something for you individually.
Kill him with kindness, Drew.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Kill him with kindness.
Very kind of you.
That's the way, you know, that's the methodology behind it.
Well,
you don't think so?
We'll get to not only Travis Kelce, but also something Roger Goodell is potentially going to try to do in the very near future that could change the way some teams have operated in the NFL. But we all know there's a lot of noise in Pittsburgh right now, not just around Aaron Rodgers, but TJ Watt, one of the best defensive players in the last decade more. And he wants a new deal. This is nothing new. It's this time of the year, players want to get a brand new contract if they're in the same spot that TJ Watt is in. And I still think he ultimately gets a new deal and at the time will become, you know, the highest paid defensive lineman. I think he will obviously look at what Myles Garrett got, even though he's a couple years older. All right, so that happens. But you presented a fun hypothetical because you and I think deep down know he's not getting traded from the Pittsburgh Steelers in a year in which they sign Aaron Rodgers, traded for Jalen Ramsey. You don't give up on players like this when they're still only 31. But let's say the Steelers actually had him available.
Which I don't think he is going to be, but other teams are at least asking the same question we are. If he is available,
what would you give up? What would you give up? Because
anything.
It's not anything. It's not with anything.
I won't give up 10 first round picks, but I'd give up two.
Yeah, and Clark
Hunt
would never do that.
I'd give up pretty much any player on the roster that's not Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, so I don't think Clark Hunt would give up two first-round picks, as we were talking about Nate Taylor, just in general, his philosophy. But yeah, I would trade two first-round picks for TJ Watt. The challenge is I'm getting a deal done with Trey Smith. I need to get one done with Trent McDuffie. I'm paying Chris Jones with a cap hit next year of 40-something million, and then I got to give a brand-new deal to TJ Watt. How do you navigate that? Oh, and Mahomes needs a new deal next offseason. How do you navigate that without turning around and having to feel like you trade somebody else in that picture? But yes, it is fun to imagine Chris Jones and TJ Watt on the same defensive line in this hypothetical. The two first round picks I would do, I would not do two and McDuffie. It would have to be one in McDuffie if I even considered it. Drew, you brought out at one point, like, hey, Rashee Rice plus picks. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, I would do that in a heartbeat.
And I like Rashee Rice.
It's a wide receiver.
It's just TJ Watt. I think we're underselling the rareness of his ability. Like,
yeah.
by saying you pretty much wouldn't move on from different players. I'm not saying Trent McDuffie's not a very good corner. He is. But there are 10 corners, not maybe that many, but they're like, over the last decade, there are probably 15 or 20 corners of the quality of Trent McDuffie. Over the last 10 years, there are not 10 or 15 players of the quality of TJ Watt. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He has led the league in sacks three times. He's had 20. He's broken the NFL sack record maybe at 22 and a half. He averages, as Gold pointed out earlier in the show, 15 and a half sacks per season since he's been in the NFL. Like those kind of players. I mean, that's like, there's like three dudes like that in the last 10 years.
I agree in terms of the impact, but I asked it earlier. I'm not saying I wouldn't do the deal, but I think I would have to really think about the, and you can say, you know, Patrick Mahomes' window is his whole career, which is it makes sense to say that. But in the same light of doing that, if you are to give up a Trent McDuffie, or I don't know his exact age, or a Rashee Rice plus picks, you're trading for a 30-plus-year-old player where now that we know what Chris Jones' cap hit looks like, you would have to pay TJ Watt as well. And the age factor, does that at all
Oh, it factors
change,
in.
Does that
I think
all
only
change
with
the
McDuffie.
Window in terms of how much... how willing you are to make the deal, I guess.
Yeah. So, a couple things. I would say McDuffie, I would think harder on because of his age. And to me, he's a top three corner in football. Rashee Rice, I would trade him in a heartbeat. As much as I think he's going to have a 1,300-yard season, in general, Rashee Rice is a best-case scenario throughout his career, guys. What do we think his peak is? A top 20 receiver in this league, probably? Let's be real.
Peak. Yeah, ceiling, yeah. And
that,
absolutely.
By the way, that's not bad. But just, no. You're not asking me, am I okay with trading Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson? You're asking, am I okay with trading Rashee Rice, who is a very nice receiver in the league? But yeah, I would do that in this hypothetical for TJ Watt plus a first-round pick. Yes,
the potential for the offense for TJ Watt.
Yes, because I can draft a wide receiver the next year. I can't draft another TJ Watt. I can find another guy that can get me 1,100 yards receiving at some point.
Yep. They're available in every NFL draft. There's like three of them in every NFL draft for the last like 7 years.
I think it just is. I think that's why you end up doing it. But there, again, there's always a chance when you're doing the draft stuff, there's like if let's say they did the deal and the offense, whatever, and they draft a wide receiver. If that wide receiver isn't producing enough, then all of a sudden, okay, well, we need to draft another one. And then, you know, obviously
I'm easier to find wide receivers than all pro edge,
which is why I make the deal. Yeah. But there's always,
for sure.
Are you willing to balance the what could happen to the, what you believe is going to happen as well?
I've seen it a couple times on the text line. And it's funny. We all have these, perspectives, or like just we all think something feels like this happens all the time and then they don't. Like, we've got a couple texts saying TJ Watt, he's injury prone. I understand why it might seem like that. Last year, 17 games. The year before,
he plays through injuries.
Last year, 17 games. The year before, 17. The year before that, 10. That was the one. Prior to that, 15, 15, 16, 16, 15. One season did he play fewer than 15 games. So,
because I think
he can't say he's injury prone if the guy's been, yes, he plays through injuries, but you're not, it's not a problem.
It's not limiting him.
If he's playing in 17 games, 15 games, and the guy's having his worst season in a year in which he played 15 or more games was. His rookie year, 7 sacks. I'm sorry. That's his worst season when he plays in more than 15 games as a pro. And that was his rookie year.
Okay, text line said he's 31 and he's declining. Is he?
I don't think you can say he's declining.
He had 19 sacks in 2023. He had 11 and a half last year. So yes, by
19, like
by
2 years
by
ago,
the numbers, by the numbers, you're correct. 11 is less than 19.
But he was playing through whatever he was. I think it was a shoulder, wasn't it? He was dealing with something in the middle of the season last year, and where he just played through it. It might have limited his ability to be as good as he was, but he wasn't terrible.
I do not think you find pass rushers of that caliber hardly ever. Yeah. He averages pretty much a sack per game he is in. And again, this is a team that finished, and this is the other part of it. I know they finished in the top five the previous 2 years, but last year finished one of the worst teams in the sack department. You just don't get players like that very often.
If you were the Steelers, what would you want back? I think Rashee Rice actually
is probably what I'd want.
Well, I think picks and Rashee Rice is what I would want. I wouldn't want anybody on defense.
I would do that in a heartbeat. With all due respect to Rashee Rice, again, I told you, I think he's going to have 1,300 yards this year. I can find another Rashee Rice. I mean, it's just the reality of the NFL and the way the numbers work now, whether it's free agency, whether it's the draft and the talent that's coming out.
Maybe George Karlaftis, I guess they could want to, but
it's fine.
I think you'd be more willing to depart with George Karlaftis than Rashee Rice, actually.
Probably. Mostly because they're playing a similar position.
Yeah, so. I mean, either one in the trade would be fine.
Because I'm just thinking, in terms of the Steelers, they just drafted Derek Carmen. They've got Cam Hayward. They would want an edge rusher, but I don't think the Chiefs would have a problem with saying, hey, we've got Minnehue. You can have George. We'll have TJ Watt, Charles Minnehue on the edge, and then Chris Jones in the middle, and that's fine.
I've talked about this with Chiefs players, too, which I think is kind of important to note. Normally, I would say, and Brett Veach would normally say, being in the business of 31-year-old players in the NFL is kind of a dangerous game. As I've told you with other players, there are exceptions. I think it's pretty clear and obvious at this point in his career. TJ Watt is an exception to the rule. I don't think he's got like one good year left. He's probably got 4 good years left. He'd probably live out the lifetime of the contract you'd have to give him in order to do it. Because that is part of it. You're going to have to pay him whatever Micah Parsons got, $40 million, or not Micah Parsons, Miles Garrett got. You're going to have to pay him $40 million a year, whatever the hell it takes. But
since we're doing fun hypotheticals, let me ask you one in a scenario that also would never happen because it's an in-division trade. Drew, if you told me Cincinnati, who had the worst defense in football last year, that Cincinnati could trade T. Higgins and a first round pick for J.J. Watt or for T.J. Watt, you're telling me you wouldn't do it?
Yes.
Dude, you got the worst defense in football.
Okay, he said he'd do it. All right, the hesitation concerns me because that's an instant trade.
I think you'd have
Trey Hendrickson and T.J. Watt, and you'd still have Jamar Chase, and it would solve your defensive problems.
They'd be the only team to trade for T.J. Watt and then not pay him. Just wait. Let him walk in free agency.
The reason why I'm hesitant is because I know Jamar Chase is great, but T. Higgins is what makes the offense be as good as it is, actually.
But that's where you ask your quarterback that you tried to make the case for earlier that's underappreciated and underrated. Joe Burrow, you say, hey, dude, we're going to get you a defense. Sorry, you only have Jamar Chase as your top.
Well, we don't need you to score 34 points anymore. 30 is fine.
I know, but in terms of what they do, T. Higgins is the second most crucial player behind Jamar Chase. Like, in terms of...
Sure, but you're not winning a Super Bowl with the worst defense in football. You know that.
Yeah, but I don't think getting T.J. Watt alone doesn't solve enough problems.
It instantly makes you 10 spots better, maybe, on defense.
And the Steelers also, again, this hypothetical, we're just playing games here. The Steelers probably wouldn't take just T. Higgins in a first-round pick either. No. But,
yeah, but I don't think the... Them getting T.J. Watt would be fun, but I don't think it doesn't solve the ultimate problem that they would end up having, where I think offensively they would still be good, but I think they would be handicapped enough where if T.J. Watt isn't able to...
I think it's a problem for Cincinnati that they can't win without T. Higgins.
They
can't be good on offense without T. Higgins.
It's a secondary issue.
I understand,
it is like a pass rush issue.
You know how you cover for having a weak secondary, though? You get after the quarterback.
Yeah, they had the guy that led the sacks, and they still stopped.
So I'm telling you, in this hypothetical, you could have the other dude that also...
Who's second in sacks?
But it's not going to change enough for them to actually be a contender.
If Cincinnati had T.J. Watt and Trey Hendrickson on their team, they would have a top 15 defense in football.
I got to be
season.
Honest. It's a pretty fair correlation, and it works out this way every single year. The teams who are the top sack teams in the league. Can you just do me a quick favor, just to make a point on this? Pull up the points. I've got the team sack numbers.
Okay.
I want you to pull up the points per game defenses, and I will tell you where they ranked amongst sack leading teams in the NFL. Because you're right, Trey Hendrickson had a lot, but nobody else on the defense did.
Correct.
So
all right, I got it.
Sorry, so who is the number one scoring defense in the NFL?
The Eagles at 18.1.
The Eagles were top... Wow, actually.
I was going to kill your argument right away.
No. They were 10th in sacks in the NFL. Next.
Chargers.
They were 5th.
Denver.
1st.
Vikings.
4th.
Packers.
6th.
Chiefs.
That's the only one that kills the argument.
Pittsburgh.
They're like middle of the road, 15th. Pittsburgh higher.
Baltimore.
So every other one is in the top 10, 2nd. Yeah. So, like, what we're talking about is the top 10 scoring defenses, turns out, have top 10 sack teams for the most part. Not a direct correlation, but we're going to say out of the top 10, it's going to hit 7 or 8 out of 10. So, like, if all of a sudden you had a guy who could get you 15 sacks with another guy who can get you 15 sacks, something tells me just as long as you can get 10 sacks or 12 sacks out of the rest of your defensive line, you're probably going to be a pretty good defense.
I'm curious, how many is T.J. Watt known as a run guy, or is he only pass rusher?
You're not bringing T.J. Watt to worry about how he handles the run.
True.
19 and a half sacks. I don't care how he is against the run.
No, let me give you the point.
He's probably fine.
The Bengals were probably dead last in rushing yards allowed last year. That's where they would get killed. They would get obliterated again in the run. It doesn't solve their problem.
You don't think T.J. Watt's better than the bad player they had playing on the edge last year?
It doesn't solve their problem in terms of run stoppage. Like, they'd be able to stop
the
passer.
I have your answer.
You're giving up too much.
Out of 211... edge rushers last year, T.J. Watt, according to Pro Football Focus, ranked 1st in run defense out of every qualified defensive end.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because if the Bengals had a running back get to the second level, they were getting a first down.
I'm just saying they're not getting to the second level with T.J. Watt. That goes all back. And look, all this I don't think they're ever doing.
Why would you? I don't think the Bengals would do it. I don't think they would do it.
They would be idiots.
Well, that's because they're a bad organization.
Because the defense is going, because if you look at everything that happened last year, you guys don't realize it probably as much because you didn't watch the team play. They had 3 DBs that missed the season last year because they got injured in the middle of the year.
Yeah, I remember.
That's part of the issue that they had amidst also being old in the linebacker room, which they addressed in the draft. And on the defensive line.
Well, kind of addressing the draft. We don't know if he's going to play football for them this year. But
Shamar Stewart's not a linebacker.
But he's still on the defense. So we don't know if he's going to play.
Yeah, they've addressed defensive line outside of just Shamar Stewart the last 2 drafts. So they're addressing the problems that they have. Like, if they go out and they have the 20th best ranked defense, then any argument that you have for, let's trade for T.J. Watt, if they have the 20th best defense, the Bengals are in the playoffs, and for all we know, they're in another AFC title game.
I'm just saying if
that's a hell of a leap. Yeah.
If their draft
based on the numbers that they were putting up, the Ravens might miss the playoffs, actually. If the Bengals beat them twice last year, if the Bengals beat them both times, the Ravens would have missed the playoffs.
If they would have beat them.
I understand, but it was down to the last play of the game two times. So that's what I'm saying. If the Bengals' defense was top 20 last year, they would not have lost those games, and the Ravens would not have made the playoffs last year.
True. The Ravens won 12 games.
Yeah, and if the Chiefs had more explosive plays, then and the Chiefs had a left tackle last year, they would have won the Super Bowl.
Cody, but I'm saying if the Bengals beat the Ravens both times, they have a worse record in the division than the Steelers do. The Ravens would be out of the playoffs.
No, they'd have 10 wins, which would have gotten them decidedly in the playoffs.
The Steelers were 10-7. I think the Ravens. The Steelers would have
been... This is the worst hypothetical you've done.
No, the Ravens... If you go back... Let's go back and look at the schedule then, because I actually want to do this. Let's go back and look at the schedule of the Ravens last year. They would have missed the playoffs if the Bengals would have beat them both times.
I don't believe so.
The Broncos would have been in ahead of them. And the Steelers would have been ahead of them.
It's not even about whether it would happen. My point is just like now we're taking away losses and adding wins. That's my issue. I don't know what the math is. I honestly have no idea. You might be right that if they would have won games, but like going back and saying if they would have beat this team twice or one time or made this play, like that's just, I mean, I mean, if Halliburton doesn't get hurt, maybe the Pacers are NBA Finals champs too. I just don't know.
And if the Chiefs show up, maybe they win the Super Bowl.
Right. We can play this game all day long in NFL history.
This one's just
but we're
like,
doing the same thing already with the hypothetical of the trade anyways.
No, you're creating a hypothetically better defense. Hypothetically gets you two more wins.
And
than
I'm telling you, I don't think the Bengals
Ravens.
Would do the trade because if they gave up T. Higgins for T.J. Watt, the offense would look dramatically different and they wouldn't be as good on offense.
They wouldn't need to score 35 points a game, though,
They didn't score 35 points a game last
year. True, I'm just throwing out numbers, Drew. I don't have their numbers memorized. I'm just throwing out numbers, okay?
Yeah, that's all.
I don't think you guys understand. The Bengals would not make that deal because of how different the offense would look.
I think they would. I think it would be a
and as a result,
mistake.
They would not be as good. And as a result, the defense might be top 15, but that wouldn't them trading T. Higgins for T.J. Watt would not make them a Super Bowl contender. Period.
All right, let's get to Travis Kelce.
Which part?
He was on a podcast.
There's one I want to talk about that I think could relate to you, but let's do the other one first.
So Travis Kelce was on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, and he was in Nashville, of course, for Tight End U, and he was talking to Will Compton, a couple of former NFL players as well in there, and just discussing what it's like to really be Travis Kelce right now. This story was pretty funny, though. Talking about the paparazzi.
You become an A-list celebrity. What are some things that it's been over a year since we've seen you that you're like, I miscalculated this a little bit as far as like how much exposure, how much publicity you get everywhere you walk.
Yeah. It's just the being, I don't want to say being, it's just the paparazzi. That's probably the only thing I didn't really grasp until you're in it. And that's probably the craziest part though. Like I'm just playing golf and all of a sudden in the trees, there's a guy with a camera and you're just like,
yeah, we're in a ghillie suit.
Yeah. Like, oh, like I got to go to the restroom now. I can't just go over here and take a piss.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
I can't just slug this beer right now.
Yeah.
Polite. It's got to get
never been ashamed of slamming beers. just don't want my on page six. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean? Like you got to go to the restroom.
I got to be honest. That is a real downside.
That's true.
Like, think about how many times you've gone golfing, Drew, or how many, and like how often people just like, let's go pee over here real quick.
Yeah, you just go by in front of the bush or the trees or whatever. He's right. He can't do that because somebody's going to take a photo of him doing that right in, by the tree or whatever and somehow make
it's
a big deal about
Travis
it.
Travis doesn't respect nature and they're going to have a picture of his penis and a whole other related issues that come with that. I get the issue he's describing here.
For sure.
It is a bit of a problem when you think about it.
Yeah, that part would suck. You know, that you're constantly, no matter where you're walking anywhere, like somebody might be ready to snap a photo of you. That part would just stink.
Man,
there's obviously
kinda
plenty of pros to the current situation for him too, but yes.
Yeah, but I got to say that I've told you this before. Like, I don't remember what it was. We did one of those social media videos for the station not that long ago. I'm like, would you rather be Jack Caglione right now or Travis Kelce? And I said, I don't want the level of fame that Travis Kelce has. That comes with zero anonymity. Like he said, he can't go to the golf course and just like hang out without thinking about what that might look like hypothetically on page six, right? Like that's just a mess. I don't, you know, you don't need the kind of scrutiny about every little portion of your life that you're going inside of. It's a really funny way to look at it though, I'll say. the idea that that would be the case. I do think we're going to see Taylor Swift a lot more games. He had mentioned it in the thing, and we don't have to play the audio, but like he had mentioned the same thing that we all know, which is this would be the first time she hasn't been touring in the middle of an NFL season.
But she was going to games anyway.
No, I know, but now, you know, she made the ones she could. She missed the ones she couldn't make because of the tour, and Travis during bye weeks was trying to go. I imagine they'll like the idea that they can spend more time together. I told you, this is ending a marriage was my official prediction early on.
Are you surprised they're not, that we know of engaged?
I think, you know, no, because he had a really long-term relationship before. She had a really long-term relationship before that did not end in marriage. So, like, I think that they're fine to, you know, take their time with it. Right? Seems reasonable.
My guess is when he's done playing football.
Oh, you think that the after proposal comes
after this year
when they've got more time to spend after together as newlyweds?
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember how crazy now some of the people look who thought for the first 3 months of the relationship that it was all set up by the NFL and it was fake and they were going to be, you know, they would break up after 4 months. Remember that crazy stuff? Heck, we have guests on this show. We had to talk Paul Charchi and our fantasy guy off a ledge about that. The conspiracy theories. You know how silly that stuff looks?
I mean,
it was silly at the time, but
it's a setup to make it even more. I did like, and this goes back to the same stuff, in that same podcast, you guys can go catch it, the Bussin' of the Boys. I think he did it in Tight End U, and they just posted it yesterday, or today. But so, when they were talking about it, because he got asked about it, he's like, would you have considered retiring if you'd won the Super Bowl? Because that's the conspiracy theory ending, right, Cold? You win the Super Bowl, you say, I'm going to Disney World, you propose it, whatever, right? You win the Super Bowl, and you ride off into the sunset, the hero. He's like, I might have thought about it more, but I don't think, you know, like, but essentially like, nah, I don't think so. But then also said I wanted to come back because that left a sour taste in my mouth. So it goes back to the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you come up short again, do you want another crack at it? Like, how many years are you willing to try to not end it on a sour note versus the opposite feeling? You can't just keep going back to the well over and over again if for some reason they were to come up short this year, which I don't anticipate as far as like, it going, I doubt it would go the same way where you get to the Super Bowl and then you just get run out of the building, which is also a different thing. You didn't just lose. You got whooped and he played bad and, you know, all the stuff that kind of comes with it. So somebody said NFL fans on social media might be the most insufferable group besides, well, a different group. I didn't see that last part, but
I mean, that's social media in general though. Like, I mean, when it comes to anything, social media just gets kind of crazy, whether you're talking about NFL or anything else.
And then this part just didn't make sense to me. From May 6, guaranteed she makes him sign a prenup. Yeah, that's how super, that's what super rich people do. Yeah, I bet she does. I don't think he'll be real stressed about that.
I think he'll be
all right. Seeing how he has, and I maybe have to fact check this, a busload of cash. I think he could fill up, I think if you took all of Travis Kelce's money in $100 bills that he is currently worth, if he could liquidate, and you put it in banded $100 bills, I think he could fill a city bus. So he's probably fine.
Yeah. Some article at one point had, like, his net worth was north of 70 or 80 million now already.
And it's only going to grow. Yeah. It's only going to grow. Like, because, you know, like by football standards, he's made good money, but he's not like made, you know, he's not worth $1 billion like her. But I don't think he's like, it's a hard time picking up the tab. Okay. I think he can, you know. He just sold his podcast for a ton of money. He's in national TV ads. He says he wants to do more acting. I think he'll be fine. I think Travis Kelce will find a way to survive.
He will be financially stable.
Celebrity net worth says he is worth $90 million.
Okay, well, there you go. But if that's true, yeah, I believe it too. If that's the case, I believe every penny of that.
Could you retire today if you made? If you got $90 million, would you quit?
Yes.
Or would you keep doing this job?
If you like, I just got a check for $90 million today?
Yeah.
Yes.
You're done?
Yeah.
It's no longer
once I got like when I actually when the money was actually in my account. Then
you probably, you know, ride out a couple of weeks maybe.
Yeah. 90 million? Yeah, there's 90 versus 9 million. 9 million, no, I'm still working.
9 million, I might be gone.
No, I'm 30.
That's enough money, I might be gone.
I'm 34 years old. If you wrote me a check for 9 million, I would still work for a while and I'd get everything ducks in a row and I just would retire very early. 90 million, I'm done right away.
9 million, I might, maybe I got a month. I don't know.
9 million, it's just, no. Like, someone says if they get $5 million, they're out. Yeah, I think it just depends on what you do for a living, your age, and everything like that at the time.
Yeah, probably. So when we come back from break, there's one other part of this.
Okay, let's get to that.
I want to ask you about specifically, and I know we got other stuff to get to, but I want to very specifically talk about that before.
Let's do that, plus what's trending next.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We start with the Royals, who did get a win last night. First one on this road trip. They're 1-1 during this series against the Mariners. They got a couple more against them tonight. First one up, 8:40. First pitch, Vern's on Deck show, 7:30 right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Noah Cameron, as you mentioned, right on the bump. Let's see if he can continue his very, very good rookie season so far. Next up on Watch Trending, the New York Knicks have finally found their new head coach, hiring Mike Brown, former NBA champion and two-time coach of the year. Obviously, they had their sights set quite a bit higher as they attempted to contact the head coaches of three or four different NBA teams. There was one report yesterday that said they tried Don Staley and a bunch of other creative options. They instead settled on the retread. Classic NBA strategy move. A man who once worked with LeBron, so maybe they're thinking this time it'll work out through the Knicks.
Elsewhere in Major League Baseball, we know this name because it was mentioned in the offseason maybe as a target for the Royals. Jerickson Profar, who has been suspended due to PEDs, he returns from his suspension today.
It's been 80 games.
We're halfway through the season or so. So he returns. Mentioned to watch just to see what his second half of the season looks like, because that was a name that at one point people wanted the Royals to acquire in the offseason. Obviously, they did not know the 32-year-old was out there taking prohibited substances. But we'll see what the rest of his season. The Braves are behind the Marlins in the NL East right now. They're having a terrible year.
Yeah, as Vern mentioned earlier, they and the Orioles are probably the two most disappointing teams in baseball. Mm-hmm. Royals are probably in the top five of most disappointing teams for teams that made the playoffs last year. I looked up earlier when Vern was talking about it. I was like, what did Santander? What has he been up to this year? 179, 273 on base percentage, and only 6 home runs and 18 RBIs in 50 games. He's a negative WAR player right now. There's a reason why the Royals didn't want to go that extra year on Santander. Not that they solved their problems in the corner outfield better, but I don't think bringing him in was going to fix the problem. Be just frustrated instead. Next up on Watch Trending, according to multiple reports, Malik Beasley is facing several more lawsuits after his current investigation by the NBA into maybe possible illegal sports wagering or his effects on it, including some questions about unders. But now his former agency is suing him for $2.5 million, claiming a lack of payment. His barber and a few others all say to go with it. So maybe shedding a little bit of light on if he had done these things, why he might have been doing it, considering certainly sounds like he's not short on the financial trouble, according to multiple lawsuits.
Lastly, Gary Woodland was named vice captain of the Ryder Cup team, 2025 U.S. Ryder Cup team. Keegan Bradley is the captain of it. He named Gary Woodland the vice captain. That's going to take place a little bit later on this year. And you and I were talking about this. I think it's at Bethpage Black.
It is a Bethpage. Update. Were been you, there before? You yeah, right for I the US Open, there. You said.
Not for the US Open. PGA Championship. PGA Championship. Yeah, PGA Championship. Going, that was like 2018, 2019 or so. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold.
We'll remind you one more time, because we're off on Thursday and Friday due to the holiday weekend and company planned holidays. But on Monday, this show has been working on something that we think is a lot of fun and will involve listeners. And we will tell you about that at 10 a.m. on Monday. And that is legitimately the maximum I have been given permission to say on this show, that we'll be doing it, that it will be at 10 a.m. and it will involve you, the listeners, in a way that I believe you will very much enjoy. I was trying to think if there's anything else. We're excited for it. That's what I got for you.
Yeah, we're excited for the announcement on Monday and excited for everything to happen. We put some work in on it. And so, yeah, you have to listen on Monday at 10 a.m. for that. And that is literally all we can say at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I'm sorry. I mean, is there nothing else?
Nope.
We can't. There's not even trying to think. Drew, is there any other way we can say what without saying it? Mm-mm. Without giving any clue to what we're going to tell them, other than it's fun and we'll do it on Monday?
I'll answer one question what it's not.
Okay.
I will answer one question what it's not, because I've seen this a ton and it's annoying.
Oh, you'll tell them
what it's not.
Okay.
Someone says, just tell us you're just announcing the college football video game tournament. That's not what it is. I wish we were doing that
and
tournament.
It's not the date for the Cody and Gold Garage Show, which I saw earlier as well. That is still in the works.
Yeah, it's not. So
that's not that. Hold on. How about this? It is a completely new. Idea and thing for this show.
It's
not something we have done before, so you don't have to guess things we have done previously.
That's it. But it's not a college football video game tournament. That's it. No more questions. We're done.
Before I actually want to say something.
No more questions.
I'm going to say something I shouldn't otherwise. Like, I'm going to accidentally just, like, give some sort of tease about who or what or where it's about.
We were talking about Travis Kelce. You said there's a different angle in addition to what he had to say on the Bus with the Boys podcast.
And look, you know me. I've never been, like, the overly forceful person about this idea on this show, other than I think I'd be okay with it. He, in that interview, had said he called catching Kelce the worst effing thing he's ever done. And as a person who hosted a pre and post game show for Catching Kelce, I don't agree. I found it quite entertaining, at least in the moment. I don't think I'd ever go back and rewatch it, but there's some moments. Are you afraid that if we ever did a dating thing on this show, that it would end up being the worst thing you've done? And then, like, I'm not saying you're fighting the idea. You're not, you're open to it, but you're not going to, like, force it to happen. Are you afraid it'll go a la how he feels about catching Kelce is the question.
Well, it's different. His was on television and it's, every, you know what I mean? This would be, that would be like going on The Bachelorette or something.
This would be public,
like,
though. It'd be on the radio.
Yeah, but like the dating game, like we when Vern found his wife through the dating game on this station with the drive and everything, that's just like a one quick 30-minute or hour thing that, that they did one day. It's not like it's like following me around. It's, it's not like every day.
We might ask you a follow-up on how the date went.
It's not like every...
He got married too, man.
He did, yeah. It's not like every day. The Chasing Kelce thing is a whole... Or Catching Kelce catching thing Kelce, is a... Yeah. Chasing Kelce. Catching Kelce is a different thing. I don't know. I think it wouldn't be as problematic because it's just a one-time, like a one-day thing as far as on air.
I wasn't asking, are you willing to do it because he says
we talked about
it
a couple years ago. By the way, that was... that the boss is well aware that thing was put out there. At some point, somebody else has to execute it, not me. I'm not executing my own thing. So somebody else would
have
to do
that. You're not setting up your own dating scenario?
Yeah, somebody else would have to get that conversation truly going and everything like that. But yeah, that's a summertime thing. We're almost already out of the summer. Darn, I guess we'll have to wait till next year. Darn.
You don't think we can do it at training camp? Let's get him get him up to training camp.
In St. Joe.
Uh-huh. That shows a willingness. A willingness to really date you, you know?
Someone says the best dating games are terrible, let alone a really cheesy one like Catching Kelce. Yeah, it was very cheesy.
Oh.
It was so cheesy.
Very, 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 very. But I, you know what? To that point, that's maybe better for me outside of that. I do appreciate everyone on the text line trying to guess what it is. Even if you guess it right, I'm not going to tell you if you guessed it right.
And by the way, none of you have guessed it right. But anyway, we're done. We're done.
That's a clue.
No more clues.
You're giving clues to at least one person who texted
in. No more clues. No more, man.
The show likes to be out amongst the people, you know?
Stop talking.
I just said we like to be amongst the people. That's an open statement.
Drew's shaking his head. Stop
That's
talking.
That's not saying anything.
Stop talking.
All of your guesses are incorrect. Yeah. We'll tell you on Monday what it is.
Yeah. Stop talking.
That's all you have to say. We'll tell
it
you
could,
on Monday.
No. It could involve a person, place, or thing.
No. Stop. Yeah. He cut your mic off. Your mic is muted. He's cut you off. You can't talk.
I just said it could involve a person, place, or thing. That's so nothing.
Done with it. Holiday weekend. 4th of July weekend, everything. We were talking about things we're doing as well. You guys are not watching Joey Chestnut in the hot dog.
Are you?
Maybe. Yeah, I've thought about it. But Roger Goodell, I want to talk about actually something. We didn't get to this. Roger Goodell is potentially looking at making a change to how some other teams have operated in the NFL. This doesn't impact the Chiefs as much, although I still think there's a chance they would utilize it. Mainly the Eagles have done it, but Roger Goodell, maybe not a fan of the void years and something that has started to happen more and more in the NFL.
Yeah, I told you I already don't kind of like it because not just because of the teams taking advantage of it. The teams who are taking advantage of it are within the rules, and I respect the fact that they've decided if the salary cap continues to go up at the rate in which it goes up, they can outrun it forever. Those teams are the Eagles, the Bills, the Saints, and a few others who are the biggest offenders, which are the void years. We sign a player to a two-year contract, and then we sign him to four dummy years in which he's not going to be on this team. We're not even pretending like he's going to be on this team. We're just going to pay him out contract money for three more additional years. Now, look, you can only add so many void years depending on the length of the contract. And teams do exploit signing bonuses as a way of extending years out as well. So I'm not saying there's not other methodology. This one just doesn't seem inside the scope of it. You're signing a player and paying them for additional years. You know they will not be a member of your team. He's already telling owners that this is something that will probably come up as a part of the collective bargaining agreement. And he's warning that maybe he's soured on a little bit. The reason why, by the way, is because the poor owners... That's relative. Poor being relative to the owners.
Sounds like an oxymoron there.
Yeah, I know. The poor NFL owners. The less wealthy NFL owners don't want to do it in that way, because what that requires is just funds. It requires the you give them all the money now and have to pay all this money up front and give a big bag of cash. And so some of the owners, the ones who don't have the Panthers owners cash, don't necessarily want to do that in order to gain a small advantage, but an advantage all the same. So why not just close a loophole? It's supposed to be the great equalizer sport. Close the loophole. They got a hard salary cap, all these other things. This is a manipulation of the cap. Allow one less manipulation.
Yeah, look, I don't have as big of an issue with the teams that are operating the way they do to do that. I guess I get the argument if Roger Dell is worried that it gives some teams an advantage. I would just say, you know, this is not something still to this point that is utilized by all 32 teams. It's also not the same as in baseball, where there's no cap and then you have the Dodgers deferring, you know, $100 million or whatever it is. You know, we're in the NFL, we're talking about, you know, five players on the Eagles combined that might be 30 or something million dollars of deferred money. There's also still consequences to doing that, especially in the NFL where you have a cap. I think that's the difference. In the Major League Baseball, there's no consequence to deferring the money, really, if your owner has the money. In the NFL, it's not only just that your owner has to be willing to do it, it still will have real life salary cap consequences. You could say the cap is going
to
keep going up.
I think it's way less than it used to because of how much the cap has been climbing. That's why the teams have been doing it more.
And who knows where the cap, if it's going to be this rate it's currently growing, is still more than it ever has been at any point in NFL's history. Is that going to continue? You know, that's why these international games are and streaming options are where they're getting all their money, additional money from. You know, then there was the sports betting money was a big thing that increased the cap a couple years ago as well. So we'll see. The Chiefs just haven't really utilized this anyway. So from a Chiefs fan perspective, I guess if you were listening, you're saying, well, why does this matter? It's not going to really change how the Chiefs currently do business if, in fact, this happens.
That's correct, which is actually good news. Another reason why, I guess, if you're just like selfish, you should want it to operate. I guess the real question I have is are we all okay with it just knowing that they're taking a risk that other teams won't, which means if for some reason there is a year that the cap does not grow at the rate in which they had been normally expecting, then it's going to hurt. It's going to squeeze the purse strings in a way that they're going to have to cut players that they like and really go through. We actually saw this around teams who were running out of the cap around COVID, because nobody expected the cap to shrink because of COVID. And as a result of that, they still shrunk it less than they thought it was going to happen. And all these teams ran into these massive cap-related issues to go with it. I just think it's a competitive advantage in a sport that I think is actually better at least on the surface, attempting competitive balance. I'm not actually claiming to you that it's actually more balanced, because I think quarterback is so important in the NFL, the balance gets out of whack from which team has a chance to compete. I don't think that that's the team's fault or the way that the league's operates fault. That's just the way quarterback play is designed. It's a hard cap with a fixed amount of money. You can only roll over so much money. You all get the same number of draft picks. You do it in reverse order of bad to good. They're creating lots of opportunities for bad teams to become good teams. Bad teams become good teams all the time in the NFL. Maybe don't win Super Bowls, but become good teams all the time in the NFL. This just feels like one loophole I'd close. I'm not saying it's the end of the world. Let's shut down the league over this deal.
I don't think it's
happening. I'm saying close it.
Yeah. Yeah. If they do it, fine. Otherwise, like, I just don't think it's that big of a problem. I guess even to this point, even in the league, the teams that are doing it, I don't think it has caused like some drastic advantages in problems for teams. I still think, you know, in the Eagles case, like, they won a Super Bowl this year. Like, now people have a problem with it. You know, if teams that are doing it aren't winning the Super Bowl, I don't know if anybody cares. The Eagles happen to be doing it coming off a Super Bowl. And so now people are like, whoa, 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 they can win a Super Bowl and they can do this. I think that's a little bit of what's happened nationally, because the Eagles are the face of it, I guess, at this point.
Yeah.
Even though the Ravens did it a couple years ago with like Odell Beckham Jr. Or something. Like,
and
nobody cared as much about them doing it.
$1 million a year or whatever. Like, and sometimes it's small amounts of money. Sometimes it's like, we're just trying to save $2 million a year, some nonsense. But sometimes it's big. It's big money. And I get it. Again, people already do it with signing bonuses. So now this creates two entry points. The Chiefs have taken advantage of the signing bonus part of it. They convert signing bonus money, and you can pay it out over multiple years. But you have to pay it out while they're still a member of your team most of the time. Not every time, but like most of the time you got to pay it out while like they're still playing for you. The void years just feel weird, because it's the same as the Shohei thing in baseball. It's like you know they will not be a member of your team. That's not the point. The point is just, I don't want to pay him anymore. And you're like, okay. Well, I mean, I don't want to pay him all right now, as far as the cap stuff goes. By the way, it's not like it's changed the fates of the Ravens. Eagles, maybe. They've won a Super Bowl and been to multiple over the last few years. So it's not like it's not working for somebody. I was trying to look up, is Odell Beckham still being paid for the Ravens?
I would assume that's over by now.
Is it like Bobby Bonilla Day?
I don't think so.
Once a year, he gets his...
Yeah, Bobby's got another 10 years of his payout from the Mets.
Once a year, he still gets his money. He's got one more year.
How much?
It's just a couple million bucks. It's nothing crazy. He's at $8 million cap charge for the Ravens this year, though.
So there is penalties to doing it.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, but again, not the same amount as normal. That's more just probably because they cut him, not because they passed the money. Mm. He's being paid by Miami in 2025 as well. He's catching two checks.
That sounds pretty good to me. Two teams, he's not even playing for him anymore. He's still getting money.
He can pick up a third check.
He's still getting money. Seems like a great gig.
Odell Beckham is like the player name that, like, yeah, I wanted 5 years ago. Please do not mention it.
Oh, yeah. I still think
the Chiefs win the Super Bowl if they got Odell
instead
Beckham.
Of the Rams. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced they win the Super Bowl that year if they got Odell Beckham instead of the Rams.
Yeah, we don't need to bring up that year again, that game again, because we're going to start the Cincinnati conversation.
I'm not getting back
to
that.
We can't do that again. We're not doing that again. We already did that this hour.
Drew's been going back and forth with people in the text line, I noticed. Drew, we don't need this kind of hostility. You know what? Nor you or the text line needs this kind of hostility going into a holiday weekend. We need to all relax.
Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm just like, if there's anything that I say about, I don't produce anything based on just saying something to get people riled up. Like, I actually, you know.
You believe it.
Yeah.
I will say.
Why would I not be genuine in what I
for
say?
Sure. And just a note, just a friendly note between two friends. When you open the sentence with "I'm fine," people don't usually take it that way.
You're saying,
"Go, if I'm like, hey man, are you okay? I'm fine." It's not usually, and I know you didn't say it with that much hostility.
But, it's the image of the dog or whatever with the house burning in the background. People, I'm good. I'm good.
I'm fine. I'm chilling. No, you're the one who's mad. That's usually, you know, like it usually.
There were some people who were agreeing with me on the text line, so shout out to them.
And then Sean Barber was texting us saying once again that they should have just traded Joe Burrow 2 years
ago. Maybe the Bills should have traded Josh Allen,
too. Two out of about 40 texts.
Maybe the Bills should have traded Josh Allen, too. They might have made it to a Super Bowl by now, you know? Or the Ravens.
Oh, my goodness. It's never going to end.
The Ravens, see, here's the problem, is that you're right in the current to make fun of those organizations. But Cincinnati has made two Super Bowls in their... Have they made another?
Let's not do this.
Let's not do this again. Careful. Ravens have won them.
In 2021, that was the first, when they beat the Raiders and Derek Carr, that was the first playoff win. That was the first playoff win of my lifetime.
Man, it's tough.
For the Cincinnati Bengals.
Look, I actually understand.
I've been through the mud, man.
In Kansas City, that's the way it worked for a very, very, very long time. They spent 30 years not winning a playoff game and then eventually got back to it, you know, with that Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it nice? America... Patrick Mahomes, everything, you know, like it's good. Everything's good in Kansas City right now. Yeah. It's great. It's fine.
Uh-huh.
Someone says, is everyone wearing their wedding rings?
Oh, boy. Here we go again on this.
What's that have to do with this?
Cody never does.
I wear it to weddings, pretty much, is when I put it on.
And I'm guessing Drew is not.
It's not there today.
Neither one of you wear your wedding rings.
In fairness, mine's been long established. I don't know why you stopped wearing
it. It's there in spirit.
Oh, no.
Do you think you'd wear yours all the time?
Yes.
Yes. It feels like you'd be a yes on that. Traditionalist, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just keep it on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I wore one for a while. I the first time I got one, I wore it for like a month straight. I took it off all the time. I kept playing with it, and then I lost it. And I just didn't have one for a long time. And then I got a new one. And then I wear it for like events. Like if I'm dressed up for like a big charity event. If I'm in like a suit, it's like wearing a tie. If I'm in like a suit or cufflinks or a dress shirt or a suit jacket, the ring comes on.
Interesting.
It's a dress up. It's like an accessory. I don't wear watches hardly ever either.
Mm.
Might put a watch on.
It's like a watch.
Like a watch or it's like one of those things. You know? That's when I wear it.
The watch thing I would agree with, like many, many years ago when smartwatches and Apple watches weren't a thing. Like in general, yes, you wear a suit. Like if you got a very nice watch, you wear it. I wouldn't wear, like if I had a Rolex or a Tag or a Breitling, I don't know if I'm wearing that to work every single day. I wear the Apple Watch is the casual watch and then whatever, nicer watch.
That's
the wedding ring is just your wedding ring. It's your wedding ring.
You know, I never got used to it.
Neither one of you.
Hmm. Well, Drew did wear his for a while, it sounded like.
I'm convinced he lost it still.
Oh. What was yours made of, or is made of, if you still have it?
The
silicone or the tungsten or whatever it is?
Tungsten, that's the real popular
titanium one. Is the is the gold is titanium. It also came with a silicone one. The silicone one I wear more often.
Got it.
Had wore more often. Because, you know, I mean, if you're working out, it's, you know.
I don't like the way it feels, you know?
You don't like the way the
silicone one
feels?
Well, I'm sure it would be weird if all of a sudden I had a ring around my
neck. I wear no necklaces, no watches.
Oh, you're saying just having the ring on all the time. Okay,
I wear zero accessories. So, like,
I just have the watch. I don't wear a necklace or anything like that. Just the Apple Watch. And I feel weird if I don't have the Apple Watch on anymore. I'm so used to it. If I don't have the watch on, it's very...
It feels weird to not wear.
Sure, yeah. Text line 913-586-7965.
People now claiming we don't love our wives. That's tough.
Does Rob wear his?
Probably.
He's just celebrated his 1-year anniversary. Do you think he's still wearing his?
Hey, congrats to Rob.
People are allowed to, you know, wear or not wear wedding rings. I don't think that's that crazy. The old school mindset of I must wear it all the time, that's not necessary.
And why did you guys buy them for each other to begin with?
Yeah, you know.
Something the old school like mindset of...
Feels like it's something you're supposed to do, you know?
Uh-huh. So,
at least in the beginning. I don't succumb to the peer pressure.
Feels like something you're supposed to do. That's a funny comment. That's funny.
Just felt like something you gotta exchange something in the ceremony.
I did this because we had to.
You know? It's a very nice ring. It was made by my friend.
Nice.
Who runs a small jewelry outfit.
Not nice enough to wear it every day.
Little silver ring. It's got our anniversary inscribed in it.
Not nice enough to wear every day.
Shout out to Opal and Gold. You know, they did a very nice job on it. I wear it.
It's not nice enough to wear every day.
So nice for big events. I don't want to lose it.
Hope you guys have a good rest of the week. We are on Fox Sports Radio tomorrow and, of course, 4th of July. So we're back on Monday. Got a fun announcement Monday at 10 o'clock. Hope you guys are listening. Have a great 4th.